A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A Netflix documentary.
Nothing will ever be the same after tonight.
An MRC film.
Some of the artists, some of the people, some of the personalities. Tonight is going to be one of the most unreal nights we've ever experienced, and I'm glad I have the good seat in the house, because I don't want to miss a thing.
A studio door opens, and people bustle around inside.
Your timing is perfect.
A man walks with Lionel Richie.
Good, yeah.
Bruce.
Well, Smokey's here, too.
In me, baby.
Steve.
Stevie Wonder turns and smiles.
The greatest artists of a generation came together.
Paul Simon grins.
With all of our ego, with all of our talent.
Tina Turner smiles.
To save some lives.
That's being a dream. Huh?
Okay, guys.
Hello.
But we only had one night. They're not coming back tomorrow.
A banner reads, USA for Africa.
It was busy and buzzy, and people didn't know what we were going to be doing. You're exhilarated, you know, just from the unusualness of the evening.
We are the world.
There was nothing more chaotic than trying to rope this creative ball of energy together. This was history happening right now.
One, two.
Let's put it on tape.
Lionel gestures.
One, two, three, four!
Opening credits roll, Bruce Springsteen performs.
All right, let's go!
He pumps his arms in the air. Film whirs through a device. Then a cutter snips off portions as cassette tapes are assembled.
Legends of rock music.
Billy Joel plays piano. Cassettes wind along an assembly line. Stevie Wonder sports beaded braids.
The most super of superstars.
Tina Turner speaks into a microphone.
Are you ready for me?
Cassette tapes slide down a chute and topple into a heap.
Here is a unique young singer.
Cyndi Lauper thrusts her arms. Huey Lewis sings to a young woman with a flower in her hair. Pyrotechnics erupt on a stage. Cassette tapes with clear covers continue to move through an assembly line.
Most exciting superstars in the music world today.
Michael Jackson dances in the Thriller video. Title, The Greatest Night in Pop. Directed by Bao Niuin. The cassette tape whirs. A few lights glow on a massive soundboard. In a studio, a man walks toward a chair. Lionel Richie sits.
Come in and hop.
He shifts around and crosses his legs.
All right. Let's get this party started. Well, we'll try to take you back as far as I can remember.
Feel good.
In the early 80s, I left the Commodores. Ken Cragen, my new manager, he said, well, first of all, your songs are more famous than you are. So we're going to stick your face next to all of those wonderful songs.
Mr. Lionel Richie.
Dick Clark shows an album.
A solo album and stuff was happening. And so the career is taking off.
A red sports car accelerates.
I'm a night person, so everything in life was happening after 1 o'clock in the morning. And then one night, I received this call from Ken that changed everything.
From behind the iconic Hollywood sign, smog hangs over a city. Caption, December 23rd, 1984. A red convertible pulls up to an office building.
Ken Cragen ran a talent management company.
Harriet Sternberg.
He had the most stellar reputation.
Ken Cragen.
Wendy Reese.
Ken was a superstar. He was as much a superstar as the artist, but he was a superstar in the business of music. One morning, there was an unplanned meeting. We walked in, and we're greeted by Harry Belafonte. That stops you in your tracks. You're looking at Hollywood royalty. He's legendary. I just knew something big was about to happen.
Hey-o.
Harry Belafonte performs.
Hey-o.
Martin Luther King Jr. leads a protest. Music journalist Stephen Ivory.
Harry Belafonte was an elder statesman. We had graduated from being a working actor and singer. He was still doing all that stuff. But for the most part, we looked at him as this iconic figure. and he had such social impact.
We believe that artists have a valuable function in any society, since it is the artists who reveal the society to itself.
A throng of protesters cheer.
Much like civil rights needed to be amplified, Harry Belafonte felt that the issues of poverty in the world, certainly in Africa, needed to be told.
For some time now, we have been hearing reports of another famine in Africa, this time in Ethiopia. But with all else that's going on these days, so often those reports don't have much impact.
People starving in Africa was as far away from us as you could be. It was just something that we saw on commercials or in documentaries.
News footage.
This mother and a baby she bore 2 months ago, wrapped together in death.
A woman wails.
Hungry child dies silently. In Africa, they're dying by the thousands.
How do you look at all this overwhelming force of need and hunger?
Something must be done.
A fly crawls on a child's face. Ken Cragen is interviewed.
Harry Belafonte said, let's do a concert. And Bob Geldof had already done the Band-Aid single about, a month or so before. I said, Harry, let's just take the idea that Bob already gave us. Let's do it, but let's get the greatest stars in America to do it.
Cragen said, I just got off the phone with Harry Belafonte. And basically what he said was, I need you. Harry said, we have white folks saving black folks, but we don't have black folks saving black folks. That's a problem. We need to save our own people from hunger. He was trying to get us, the younger group, involved in what was happening in Africa. I said, of course. It's not that I didn't have enough to do. I mean, I was hosting the American Music Awards, just been offered that invitation. I'm about to go on my big solo tour. But one thing for sure, I knew I wanted Quincy involved because he's the master orchestrator.
Quincy Jones conducts.
He's a successful performer, but he's better known as a producer and composer who's worked with everyone from Louis Armstrong and Frank Sinatra to Little Richard and Paul Simon to Diana Ross and Michael Jackson, Mr. Quincy Jones.
Michael Jackson puts his arm around Quincy.
At that particular time, you could not be a producer and be any hotter. He had the respect of every musician on the planet.
Quincy Jones waves his arm as he conducts a band. Voice of Quincy Jones.
It's been something I had been thinking about a lot before. You know, Lionel called and he said, let's go. Really have felt the need for that. Of all times, you know, because this is the most the world's ever needed each other.
It started from there, and we went on to the obvious phrase of, who's going to do this thing?
Voice of Ken Cragen.
Lionel and I got in this limousine, which happened to have a phone in it. I said, let's get you and Stevie Wonder to write a song. We called Stevie, we couldn't find Stevie. Lionel continued to try Stevie all through the night, no luck.
They all wanted Stevie Wonder. Who wouldn't? He already had that soulful, epic, legendary status. And also, they were all close with Stevie.
But when Stevie says, I'll call you back, you just wait for him to call you back on whatever timetable it's going to be. And after that, I had Quincy on the phone. He says, well, I'll see Michael tomorrow. I'll run it by him, see what he thinks.
The man whose record, Thriller, has just become the biggest-selling album ever, who earned more Grammy nominations this year than anyone in history.
Michael Jackson is the man of the 80s.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jackson!
Michael Jackson performs on stage.
Michael and I go back to the early Stone Age days. We were brought up in Motown, and as lead singer of the Commodores and lead singer of the Jacksons, we bonded right away.
Archival footage.
Now, that's what you've been doing. I know you
have. When he first learned how to drive, the first place he drove was over to my house. But he couldn't drive on the freeway because he was scared to death of being on the freeway. So he knew every back street in the world to get to my house.
Stevie Wonder mingles at a party.
But Stevie wouldn't call me back. So Michael and I needed to start writing without Stevie. I said to Michael, I can write the song by myself. You can write the song by yourself. But if we're going to do this together with Quincy Jones, it has to be
huge.
Water flows from a three-tiered fountain in the courtyard of a large Tudor home.
This is my first time in the Jackson household.
That's when you do Vegas, right?
Lionel plays piano.
I realized we'd never written anything together, and we've never spent time together.
However you want to do it, it's okay.
Doesn't bother.
There's a choice.
My God, this is the Sonny and Cher thing you do.
I realized he can't play, so he hums every part. Tapes and tapes of... Excuse me. I mean, it's just layered and layered of him humming. It was pretty amazing.
Michael poses on the cover of the Thriller album.
We had to identify right away, what kind of song do we want? Oh, don't you need me when you're not? Do you want one of those? Or do you want an anthem? Da, 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 da. No, that's not what we're looking for. Da, bam, 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 bam.
Lionel pounds his leg.
There it is. There's your template. And once you have that, now what are we going to put on top of it?
Liquid swirls inside a lava lamp.
We went through various songs we thought were just sausage. His line was, where's the jump? He called me Lionel. Lionel, I want you to check out Bubbles the Chimp. I don't want to hold the chimp. Meanwhile, there's a full-on fight going on downstairs. Shut up. What's happening in the kitchen, Michael? What's going on? He says, Ricky, the minor bird, is having a fight with the dog. Because the bird can talk and the dog is mad at the bird. Meanwhile, I've got someone calling me on the phone, Lionel. They're sending a script over for the American Music Awards. Michael's, of course, working on his songs. We're really not taking it that serious because we'll get to it.
Old footage shows traffic weaving through downtown Hollywood, and a boy rides a skateboard. Ken Cragen addresses his staff at a meeting.
There are ways to make this thing bigger and bigger and bigger in terms of what it can generate. And
we didn't have a song, and we didn't have a date, but because we had Stevie, Lionel, Michael, and Quincy, Ken realized that they had dynamite and they could call anybody. It would be epic.
Harriet shrugs. Wendy.
Back then, we had no technology. We didn't have cell phones. Things didn't move quickly.
Thankfully, Ken's Rolodex was massive. I used to travel with a gigantic suitcase that was just Rolodexes.
Well, I said to Lafonte, you know, we oughtn't to just limit this to the black artists. He said, sure, I think that's a good idea. I said, I represent Kenny Rogers, who would, I think, do this in a minute.
Kenny Rogers was a really big deal. And we asked the other artists that we had on our roster, like Kim Carnes and Lindsey Buckingham. But any artist schedule takes months of planning. Everything is a logistical nightmare.
Monday, it's the American Music Awards. 3 hot hours of the best of country, soul, and rock and roll. Lionel Richie hosts the American Music Awards live Monday at 8, 7 Central.
Because Lionel was hosting the American Music Awards, we looked at that date and realized that would bring so many artists into Los Angeles, expenses paid, plotted already on their schedules. That was the pivotal point where it was like, oh, who's coming to the American Music Awards? Larry Klein?
A man with curly gray hair sits beside a soundboard. Larry Klein, producer, American Music Awards.
Back then, the American Music Awards was a big fucking deal. I had Diana Ross and Hall & Oates. I mean, I had these people booked. Prince was, Madonna was, and Cyndi Lauper.
Currently going after Hall & Oates.
And Ken Cragen called me. I mean, he said, I want to put together a group of superstars, as many people as I can get, to be on the song. But to get these people in a room recording together, it had to be the night of the AMAs. There was no choice.
It was less than a month. We were looking at the top charts and saying who could sell the most records.
Please welcome His Royal Badness, Prince.
Prince was one that they wanted badly. He had a purple rain.
What are you looking forward to seeing in this film?
Prince.
Sheila E.
Anything more specific than that?
Prince.
She smiles.
And anything else?
Prince.
Prince was in love with Sheila E.
Sheila E.
She plays drums.
She was his percussionist. And she was also a great singer.
Her photo is pinned to a board.
I think we needed a little bit of everything.
Steve Perry, the lead singer of Journey, had the third highest single.
I wanted Madonna. Material Girl and all of the things she did would bring a really different audience. But Ken wanted Cindy. We had a fight about that.
I felt, you know, it was an important thing to do.
Cyndi Lauper.
I do believe that rock and roll can save the world, or we should try.
The next really critical move I made was to go after Springsteen.
A man enters a wooden cabin.
Okay, this chair.
Bruce Springsteen.
Okay. 1985, I was top of the world. You know, we were very popular and we had a great tour.
Springsteen was a rocket ship, but he wasn't going to the AMAs.
We called Springsteen's manager, John Landau, and he said to me, look, he said, he's finishing the tour the night before. He never, ever flies the day after a concert. He said, let me talk to him and we'll see.
Famine relief was important. I knew it hadn't been addressed, you know, and you're always sitting there with like the old, what can I do about it, you know? It was a little soon. I normally wouldn't have done it, but it looked important.
And then it was like, well, you have Bruce Springsteen, you could call Bob Dylan.
The answer, my friend, is a blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
It was Bob Dylan. He was doing Blowing in the Wind, or one of his songs. When hasn't he been a legend?
Bob Dylan steps off a plane. David Breskin.
Bob Dylan was known as the concerned musician. He'd be a more natural fit than anyone. But the mid-80s was maybe not the best period for him.
But, you know, he's Bob Dylan. He's an enigma.
Once Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen committed, it was just a wish list. You know, David Byrne was unavailable. Van Halen was unavailable because they were on tour. I wanted Bette Midler. I wanted Dan Aykroyd.
Kenny Loggins.
How I heard about it was that Michael called me and said that he was planning on doing a big event and would I want to be a part of it. I wasn't that aware of what was going on in Africa, but at that time, whatever Michael did turned to gold, so of course it was a no-brainer.
Voice of Quincy Jones.
Man, we have the most beautiful artist in the world. It would be awful to produce a record with this many great people on it and not work because you don't have the right song.
We've got the cast now. Now we need a script.
January 18, 1985, 10 days to the recording.
Michael and I thought we had all the time in the world. We were kidding around.
This project,
Craig and Cole,
you know, I can hardly sleep without it. I'm so excited about this project.
Well, you see, there are a lot of people waiting on this song. It's not just the four of you. Oh, my God. He said, I think we have Billy Joel. And we got Willie. I think we have Tina. Huey Lewis, Paul Simon, Diana Ross, Ray Charles. That's just pressure, 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 pressure. And we're going to do this the night of the American Music Awards. What are you talking about? And then Quincy comes by. Yeah, here we go. So Quincy very quietly just said, I need a song. You have to understand the severity of this situation. The American Music Awards are coming up next week, and Quincy has been basically rendered null and void until we have a song.
Someone inserts a cassette into a player.
I don't know how it happened after that. We were just possessed. Throwing things out and whatever felt good. I came in with a few chords. Say da da, and all God's family. We want it now, da-da-da, for all time. And Michael said, oh, whoa, da-da-da-da, da-da-da, okay, da-da-da-da, on top of da-da-da-da-da-da.
Lionel snaps.
Magic.
But it'll be they, and I love you more.
We now have a template with mumbles and no words. We Are the World was probably a line from Michael.
We are the world.
We are the children. We are the what? We are the ones that make it better. out of the corner of my eye, I see some albums falling over, and I hear what the hell is that? I look over my shoulder. That's the biggest frickin' snake. And Michael's going, there he is, Lionel. Oh my God. He lost the snake in the room. He came out when he heard us singing, Lionel, and he wanted to meet you. He wants to say hello to you. I gotta get out of here quick. I am screaming like it's this is the end. I saw this horror movie, and it's not good for the brother.
Hazy sunlight hangs over Hollywood. Words appear, January 19, 1985, 9 days to the recording.
It was a very hectic lead-up to the recording session, and the location was a really big deal.
This paper is highly confidential. The single most damaging leak of information is where we're doing this.
We scouted every single studio in Los Angeles. And A&M Studios had everything. A great location, the sound is phenomenal. Done.
The moment that becomes public knowledge, if that shows up in the press, that could totally destroy the project. The moment a Prince, a Michael Jackson, a Bob Dylan drive up and see a mob, they will never come in.
Cragen was really worried about this leaking. And they were so paranoid about it.
We've had numerous leaks of information regarding this event that have not made it any easier to do it. Harry, did you ever trace where the leak was?
Internal
here?
And this was the biggest thing happening in pop music right here in town. So you couldn't keep it that big a secret.
In archival footage, people frolic on a beach. A t-shirt in a shop bears Michael Jackson's picture. A group of men dance in roller skates. Words appear, January 10, 1985. 8 days to the recording. A plane lands and a cassette tape plays.
Michael and I had finished writing the song and finally turned it into Quincy. Does he like it? That's the first question.
Quincy smiles.
Jesus, Lord. I listened to it at the house. And absolutely fell on the floor. No, I mean, fell on me. It was so right. I was so happy. I mean, it's like, thank you, God, you know.
He loves it. Okay.
January 23, 1985.
We needed to put the demo down so that the rest of the artists will have an idea of what the song sounds like.
Musicians set up at a recording studio. A man adjusts levels on a soundboard.
My name is Umberto Gatica. I was asked to be the engineer in charge of this entire project by Quincy Jones.
Hello? Hello? How you doing, Louis? Man, are you kidding? This is great. Well, Michael and Lionel are here. So we're just getting ready to cut the track now. We're getting ready to cut the basic now.
The idea was to make something as simple, because it was all about the singing, about what these voices were going to bring to this production.
We are the children. We are the ones to make a better day. So let's start hearing.
Sorry, one more.
We'd make a better day. I would love that, man.
It just seems so natural to say it right or again.
You get a stronger feeling, though, Smelly, if you use another word.
You think so?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the session, in walks Stevie. He thought we were writing the song. And so Quincy said, I'll talk to him. And Quincy took him down the hall to tell him, we finished writing it. We're ready, putting the demo down. Of course, Stevie was, oh, okay, you know. You could see the shock was, how come somebody didn't tell me? Well, yeah, we did. 3 weeks, you know. But at that moment, the baby was about to get born.
Stevie sings with Michael and Lionel.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we've got to get lead sheets and letter and all the cassettes out to all the artists.
You know. Can I get Monday?
Oh, of course.
I must have my tape by tomorrow. It's imperative.
Cassettes are shipped. January 24, 1985. 4 days to the recording.
I got a stack of 50 cassette tapes that went to managers. Some of them went directly to artists.
Huey Lewis.
It was an interesting time. We had just had our first big hit record, and I received the tape, the cassette tape in those days of the song and the invitation, and I played a demo in my car. I'd never met Lionel or Michael, so, you know, it was just an amazing invite to get. And then I remember thinking, oh, yeah, this is going to be a hit.
Smokey Robinson.
I remember how I heard about it because Lionel called me, you know. Lionel was my brother. So that was it. That was enough for me. I mean, I didn't have to be coaxed or anything like that.
Quincy's office sent me a copy. I listened to it a couple of times, and it definitely had a memorable chorus.
Springsteen.
When I first heard it, I thought it was very broad, you know, as music that's going to carry all those voices usually has to be. So I said, okay, that's cool.
In the letter that was sent out, one of the lines was blacked out.
That is where it was. It says that A&M studio. So Ken said, no, you can't let anybody know it's there, man.
For him to give me details at that time would be unnecessary. I, like many artists that I know, don't remember shit.
Vocal arranger Tom Baller.
Quincy called me. And he said, we're going to do a new song, but I want you to handle the voices. He said, come on over. I want to talk to you about it because we haven't got much time.
At a church.
Quincy and I met back in 1973. I was a white boy raised in a black gospel church. Quincy heard some arrangements that I had done for Sarah Vaughan, and he invited me to his home, and he came to the front door, and he looks up and he goes,
Tom Jolts.
You're not white. And that started us off. We artistically fell in love and became brothers. But Quincy was the general.
Words appear, January 26, 1985, 2 days to the recording.
We ended up at my house. Tom Baylor was there with Quincy. And there in my living room, they had a fan.
A man lays cue cards on the floor.
They had names of all of the artists on the floor. Now, we have to go through the process of the arrangement of the vocals. We had to select who's going to do the solos, but you only have a half a line to sing, and it has to be your sound, your style, your key in a half a line.
A needle lowers on a record.
I started listening to every artist that was going to sing a solo.
Tom dons headphones.
Looking for differences, contrasts. The boss has a dirty sound. And I thought of Kenny Long is next. Kenny has a clean sound that was perfect after Springsteen.
Baylor was studying people's vocal ranges because he wanted to make sure they would be really comfortable with what they had to sing.
Having worked with Tina before, I put her very low because she's got such warmth down there. And then you go to Steve Perry. His range, I mean, he's electrifying in that place.
Another record spins.
Cindy, her voice is forceful. Even in Girls Want to Have Fun. Oh, God, I love Huey. But not every artist was going to sing a solo.
Also, he was worried about, like, who they were going to be standing next to. And that led to some interesting discussions about how people were going to get combined.
And I thought what we were going to do was have everybody come in, one by one, go in the booth, sing it. Quincy says, no, we'll be here for the next 3 weeks. We'd put a circle in the room of all mics, and everyone will sing it looking at each other.
Bob Dylan, Ray Charles.
Some of his artists are troublemakers.
There were people in there, troublemakers. Cyndi Lauper was one. Stevie Wonder is another one.
I'm not afraid, but it's just deep water, man.
Quincy said, let's start at the beginning. What's going to happen when they come in the studio? We need to be able to handle whoever comes in, and we wanted no downtime. This has got to be seamless, because if we stop for a minute, this thing's going to be chaos.
A list of names.
I'm looking at these names. Great artists. And I was one of them.
Lionel smacks his legs.
What am I doing? What on earth am I doing here? It's pretty daunting.
A road sign reads Sunset Boulevard.
And then all of a sudden,
the sun rises over the city.
It's time.
Words appear. January 28, 1985. Day of the recording. Harriet.
I was at the Shrine Auditorium when Lionel arrived in the early morning. Your artist is hosting the biggest primetime show on a network when network TV was the only thing that was happening. We really worried about Lionel.
I'll tell you right now, there's more dialogue than I've ever had before in my life. It's fun, though. A lot of fun. It's always an exciting show, and I'm looking forward to it, I tell you. If I can stay awake.
But also, we have the setup for the studio.
Bob Dickinson.
I got the call to volunteer to light it. I was able to get some friends in the lighting industry to volunteer, and I got the equipment for free. To be honest with you, I don't think they even knew who was actually going to come.
Las Vegas lights shine at night.
There was a lot of questions about artists who didn't come to the AMAs.
Dionne Warwick.
That was called by Quincy Jones. Well, he said was, you will be in Los Angeles tomorrow night. And I said, no, I won't. I'll be in Las Vegas.
Stevie was in Philadelphia at 2 o'clock, the day of the event.
We'll be seeing you in the summer.
Bruce Springsteen just finished his tour in Buffalo. I had heard what the weather was about back there, so we got nervous.
A monitor reads, flights canceled at the Shrine Auditorium.
You realize that you have no control on what's happening right now. It was an evening where you're floating.
Hi, I'm Lionel Richie. Tonight, we're back at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, California, for the American Music Awards. Look out, we're gonna be running with the night!
Lionel runs on stage in a metallic suit.
Lionel that night, he had his responsibilities as a host. He's the leader of the show.
Nothing! Nothing will ever be the same after tonight.
He performed twice. And he swept the awards.
Lionel Richie!
Lionel Richie!
Lionel Richie!
Lionel Richie!
Lionel Richie!
Lionel Richie!
Hello.
He accepts multiple awards.
I think I won 6 awards that night while hosting.
I forgot I'm working here.
When he was backstage, he was talking about We Are the World. But you only got 30 seconds. You got to be back on the stage.
1984 saw her explode into a solo career with her new album, The Glamorous Life. Just wait till you see Sheila E.
At that time, I was on the Purple Rain tour. It was nonstop. By the time I got to the AMAs, I was delirious.
Sing it!
And I was nervous as heck.
She kicks a drum.
I looked into the audience, which is the wrong thing to do, because you look at the first 5 rows, you're like, oh my God. I remember Lionel telling me after the AMAs, everyone's going to go sing this song, and I want you to sing one of the verses. And so I was like, oh, absolutely. Lionel said he was hoping Prince would also sing a verse. I was like, cool. But, you know, he's going to do it on his own time.
And now, let's see what record will make it as favorite black single.
Nominees are Prince, When Doves Cry, Michael Jackson, Thriller, and in a couple categories, it was Prince versus Michael.
The rivalry was real. It would be great if Michael and Prince were together singing. It was a great statement to make that even these two guys, for saving lives, we can come together to do this.
When Doves Cry, Prince.
Prince, his bodyguard's name was Chick. And Chick was scarier than him. He was just a massively huge person. And when Prince would win an award, Chick would walk up on stage with him.
Prince hands his award to Chick.
No one's going to attack him walking up on stage. Well, maybe that's different nowadays.
Outrageous! Outrageous!
Prince won those big awards. Michael didn't. Michael wasn't there, of course. He was at A&M Studios doing his thing.
That's good, Shauna's. By turning stones to bread.
Michael?
Yes?
Oh,
But the choice we're making, we're saving our own lives. If you just leave that line out just for a
minute. So leave out the choice. Can somebody bring me a lyric? I'll leave it out, but I just might forget.
Umberto.
The first person who showed up here was Michael Jackson, put him right in the middle of that room, where he used a C-12 microphone.
Can we take one?
Michael puts on headphones.
He got himself that he felt that he was in sync with the music.
So then know that someone cares.
Could we just hear Balance before we go from there, without the track?
Sure.
I was here adjusting some lights, and Michael Jackson is listening, and he suddenly sings.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving.
This is the most remarkable voice I have ever heard in my life.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. Sorry.
He smiles and waves his hand.
I didn't say better. Can I say brighter and brighter? I forgot.
He shakes his head.
When I was asked to write this by Quincy about, you know, for world hunger, I put my heart and my soul into it.
We'll make a better day.
To say something, because it's so much easier for me to talk through a song. That's really my statement.
Michael stands behind a microphone.
Quincy, do you think... I'm saying you, should I say you and me or you and I at the end?
I like you and me.
Okay, it's much more soulful.
Yeah, more in, yeah, more in, soulful.
Yeah.
Country.
Yeah, country.
Love it, man. That's what it's all about, man.
What was so interesting about Michael is that originally Michael only wanted to write the song.
At first, Michael didn't want to sing or be on the video. He thought it was overexposure at first. And I talked Michael into being on the date, you know. That would have been one of the biggest mistakes in his career if he hadn't showed up.
There's a...
But he was there, man. He was more than there.
He removes the headphones.
How does it sound?
Sounds great, man.
He wears sunglasses and a black jacket with gold beading. Michael nods and steps away from the microphone. Meanwhile, at the American Music Awards ceremony...
Kenny Krager was at the show, sitting in the first row. And every time he went to commercial... And he leapt out of his seat and ran backstage.
You stay in your seat, babe. You stay in your seat.
I went to him and I said, we have a situation happening here.
Cyndi Lauper.
Backstage, Cyndi Lauper came over to me and said, my boyfriend heard the song. I'm not going to be able to come because he doesn't think it's a hit.
Well, nobody knew. It certainly was a group of great people. But I was so punch drunk tired.
Well, it's some year, huh?
And after the show, it was like, all right, you have to just go there.
And I said, Cyndi, it's pretty important for you to make the right decision. Don't miss the session tonight.
What a night. What a night.
I said to the artist, don't hang out here. Hit the road and get to A&M Studios.
At a post-show press conference.
Can you talk a little bit about your feelings about this record being made tonight?
I don't know what's happening over there. I know Quincy's over there biting his nails now, and I want to get over there and find out. I don't know. Yeah.
What's the name of it?
We Are the World.
There was a rumor going around that the Prince and James Brown may be included.
No comment.
Why? Why not?
Well, I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have to move on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
When I left the AMAs, I just knew there was a car there for me, and then we show up. I had no clue who was going to be there.
A plane soars through the night sky.
I knew nothing about what the project was until I got to Los Angeles. Quincy means an awful lot to people, and when he's doing a project, it's something well worth being a part of.
Dionne Warwick smiles. Umberto.
Pretty much everything was ready to go. And Quincy asked me for a piece of paper, and he decided to write the greatest line. Check your ego at the door.
Ken Wu.
I was lucky enough to be one of the cameramen, but I was just the
rookie of the bunch. I'd only moved out here 3 years before. The producer said, go out front, they're going to start arriving pretty soon.
The question is, who was actually going to show up?
A dark sedan pulls up. Then, Kenny Rogers waves from behind the wheel of a silver car.
Kenny Rogers, come in.
He drives through a gate. Cyndi Lauper arrives. Huey Lewis.
When I arrived at the studio, I realized it was the cream of the crop of pop music for that time.
Tina Turner.
Ray Charles, come in.
Oh, my God.
Bette Midler. Yeah. Christy Brinkley kisses Billy Joel.
Christy Brinkley, oh, my God.
Is
it just overwhelming.
Lionel Richie poses with his arms around two women.
Walkie-talkies is how we communicated. Who was showing up? Who was here? Who just got here?
Kim Carnes just driving.
Kim Carnes arrives. Ken Wu.
This guy pulls up across the street in this old Pontiac GTO. Guy gets out, it's Bruce Springsteen. I'm like, wow, it is on.
Springsteen greets Michael Jackson.
That's really neat. That's like the Statue of Liberty walking.
A Pointer Sister shakes Ray Charles's hand.
To me, Diana Ross was like, whoa, we've hit a different echelon here.
Bette Midler waves.
I almost felt like I was in a dream. Everyone was a legend to me. Bob Dylan, I mean, I think I just said hi and walked away because I was scared.
Nobody else was allowed in the studio except the artists themselves. So nobody had assistants or anything else. And of course, then we got to interact with each other. And that was really the thrill.
It was intoxicating just to be around that group of people.
Cyndi Lauper.
And I felt like I was underdressed. I was worried. I knew Billy Joel, so I went right over to him.
They embrace. Smokey Robinson.
Everyone felt the magic. Everybody that you can think of who was in show business at that time is at that recording.
Kenny Loggins.
We're on the risers. Paul is on one of the lower steps, and he looks up and he goes, whoa, if a bomb lands on this place, John Denver's back on top.
Dionne Warwick and Stevie Wonder smile. Quincy's sign reads, check your ego at the door. A digital clock shows 10:03. The artists gather on risers in front of the banner reading USA for Africa, United Support of Artists for Africa. Michael Jackson chats with the Pointer Sisters, and Kenny Rogers laughs with Kim Cairns.
We could feel the energy in the room was really high.
Well, Ray and Willie out in the thing.
But at the same time, under it is a low hum of competition. The egos were still there. Let's not pretend that they weren't there.
Celebrities can be very difficult when they're surrounded by managers, agents, and glam squad. But they were not in that environment.
Michael Stenz beside Bob Dylan.
The biggest stars in music found it disarming. They seemed almost timid.
Steve Perry stands behind Kenny Rogers. Kim Cairns licks her teeth.
It was like first day of kindergarten.
Quincy.
Okay, guys. No, we have everybody clear out so we can make it. Please. Hello, hello, hello.
The artists banter, ignoring him.
Yes, sir. Nice.
Quincy had to pull all of these kids together.
Diana Ross puts her arm around Stevie Wonder. Quincy addresses the group.
First, I would like you to meet Bob Geldof, who is really the inspiration for this whole thing. This is the man who put Band-Aid there. Yeah. He just came back from Ethiopia, and he'd like to talk to you.
Oh, would I? Well, maybe to put you in the mood of the song you're about to sing, which hopefully will save millions of lives, I think it's best to remember that the price for life this year is a piece of plastic 7 inches wide with a hole in the middle. And I don't know if we in particular can conceive of nothing, but nothing is not having water. And some of the camps you see 15 bags of flour for 27,500 people. And you see meningitis and malaria and typhoid buzzing around in the air. And you see dead bodies lying side by side. And it's that we're here for. And I assume that that's why we're all here tonight. And I don't want to bring anybody down, but maybe it's the best way of making what you really feel, why you're really here tonight, come out through this song. So thanks a lot, everybody, and let's hope it works.
Michael Jackson listens intently with his eyes downcast. David Breskin.
Quincy is so savvy. He used the Geldof speech to get people to focus on what it was about. We're having a good time here, but like, I want you to put what you feel into the song.
Sheila E.
I just performed at the AMAs, you know, everyone having a great time. And then the reality of him explaining why we're here, you just kind of go, wow.
Everything will be sung in this room will be unison on each take and harmony parts and everything, so we don't have to stumble with harmony inside the room. The first thing I'd like to do is the lead to the choruses, okay?
Can we hear about four bars without the track? Acapulco. One, two.
We are the world.
Hey, right.
We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's not be
afraid.
If everybody could groove from their knees instead of their feet to bring an awful lot of feet pounding on those risers.
The tension was there because we're not going to have a lot of time. Technically, we need to be really together, and we got to move fast.
Once again, guys, please.
We are the world.
We had to learn the song, and, you know, you had to rough it out and go over it, and it was like that.
We are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's start giving. There's a choice we're making.
The pressure was on us as the production group to make sure when we let Springsteen go home, when we let all these guys go home, it's done, right? One night only to get this right.
Right now, we'll do that all the way through and up in the same octaves that Michael's singing. Everybody that can't sing it that high, just lay out, please. Just the high singers. I don't want to get octaves on this particular part because we're going to do low octaves later. So if it's too high for anybody, they could just rest on this stack and then we'll come back and put it away, okay? So we'll make a playback and then we'll start chopping wood, okay? Can I hear it off?
Real spin in the recording booth.
Everybody have hands?
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives.
Bob Dylan knows himself. He's not a singer in the way that Stevie Wonder is.
We are the world. We are the children.
So Dylan was probably more uncomfortable than any other person that was here.
Quincy smiles from behind a podium.
Can I still sing it tonight? I know.
The octaves,
we can't do the octaves on this
stage.
Just the band?
Huh? Just the band?
Yeah.
Some of the singers were saying, well, that's not in my range.
How about you, man?
I can't do it.
I can't, right?
If it was out of your range, you're trying to figure out, well, maybe I can sing a harmony or something, but they didn't want any of that. They just wanted that solid unison.
There's a singer's old saying, suck along quietly. Sing it when it's in your range. When it gets out of your range, stop. You know, there's so many voices, nobody's going to miss you.
One, two, three.
We are the world.
It's probably 60 or 70 people in the room. It was getting pretty ripe. My lights were big 5,000-watt fire-breathing instruments. So it got very warm in here. And that added to the tension.
We had all the lighting guys and four cameramen. And so you had to be really careful to not get your cables tangled up, and you had to be quiet.
Guys, you gotta keep it quiet. We gotta stop making noise during takes, please.
Diana Ross purses her lips.
We're shooting the video and putting the song together at the same time. Can anything go wrong? Absolutely. We were flying by the seat of our pants.
A digital clock reads 1:28.
The clock is ticking. Quincy's worrying about the big picture. My job was, if there was any problems on the floor, solve it.
I mean, you change.
No, I think it's brighter.
It's feel like everyone was singing brighter.
Is it brighter?
It's better. It's brighter.
I don't want to open the inner one. Stay with brighter.
You want to feel better or brighter? Brighter is the one everybody's leaning to, right?
Sheila E.
Lionel Richie is the guy to bring everyone together.
I'm walking around to each little camp, putting out fires.
And he was on adrenaline. He was just nonstop, but he's like that anyway. He has stories to tell. Let's do this. Let me tell you something. He's making people laugh. He's just making the water flow in the right way.
One line you can never use in life. I'm not sure about this. What do you think?
Better have to invite you.
We have 47 artists. If you say that, you'll have 47 different versions of The Other World. So my job was to make sure, under no circumstances, do we veer off what it is.
Willie Mongo.
Stevie sings and Lionel mouths, "Wow."
Stevie said, "I think we need to have some Swahili somewhere in this song. I think we should sing Tutu Wai No No Willy Moingu."
If we do this, we're going to run out of time. And if we run out of time, it won't be good.
Ken Wu.
I was back in the corner of the room, just happened to be pretty close to Waylon Jennings, and I just heard him go, "Well, ain't no good old boy ever sung Swahili. I think I'm out of here."
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Waylon walks out of the door. "I'm not dealing with this. I don't know what that means, but I am not going to say it." And we lost Waylon right there.
Waylon leaves the studio, and Ken Cragen follows him out.
They don't speak Swahili.
Someone said, "Stevie, they don't speak Swahili in Ethiopia."
You could see the potential for a 17-car linguistic pileup.
I just think that what you're trying to do is, like, there's no point in talking to the people who are starving. We're talking to people who've got the money to give. And, you know, it just turns out one person turns out two.
But what words do we use?
I don't know, but
the problem is we don't have any words.
The whole point is,
what do we got, Smelly?
I remember at that point, because I'm shadowing Ray Charles, and Ray goes, "Ring the bell, Quincy, ring the bell." Which meant, let's get going here.
Tina Turner fidgets.
A lot of people were getting kind of impatient about the whole thing. Everybody's tired. People wanted to get on and get it done. And I think that's kind of where Shala Shalinge may have come up.
We are the world, all our children. Shalinge, we are the world.
I guess it was Michael's idea of how we can get something cultural sounding in here.
Jala, Shalinge, Jala. That's what they give.
Excuse me.
Smokey Robinson raises his hand.
Hey, hold it. What we're saying is, because that's what we're giving. What's what we're giving?
I'm one of the few people who would ever say anything to Michael.
Yeah, so let's start.
I've known Michael Jackson since he was 10 years old, when he first came to audition to be a Motown member. He was singing and dancing his little butt off at 10 years old.
What do you want to put down?
Michael is one of the greatest artists we've ever had, one of the greatest songwriters ever. So people were afraid to say, "No, we shouldn't do that," or "That don't sound good," or something like that.
"Will you tell me what Shalinge?"
See, when you grew up in Motown, you know, that's how we did each other. But we all love each other.
Does everybody like the beautiful world?
That's great.
One world.
One world.
One world.
One world.
One world.
Our children. One world. So let's start
getting it.
Lionel points fervently, and the sound engineers prepare to record.
One world.
finished singing the chorus.
You know.
And Quincy wants to say thank you to Harry Belafonte. And then all of a sudden, the most amazing thing happens.
Harry Belafonte was the most inspirational person for all of us who were there.
Al Jarreau started singing Harry Belafonte's song, and all of a sudden everybody jumps in.
Belafonte touches his eye, then looks down with a smile. He licks his lips, smiles, and nods. Ray Charles plays piano. Harry Belafonte chats with Bruce Springsteen and Dan Aykroyd.
In between the breaks, Ray would play another version of We Are the World, the gospel version, the George on My Mind version. And so at that moment, I overhear Ray and Stevie talking. And Ray says, honey, I got to go to the bathroom. And then Stevie said, I'll show you where it is.
And he just grabbed him by the arm and they walk. And everybody said, the blind really is leading the blind. And we all just burst and laugh.
Tina Turner faces a camera.
People were hungry. Everybody was ordering chicken and waffles, you know, from Roscoe. And I've never seen anybody who eats chicken better than Lionel Richie. He eats the last little piece of bone, he sucks it up, and he eats and he puts them on top of the other one. So when he finishes, he has all these little bones all layered properly. And I said, man, brother, there's nobody can eat chicken better than you.
Kenny Rogers eats a hamburger.
When that break came, Diana walks up to Daryl Hall with her music in her hands and says, Daryl, I'm your biggest fan. Would you sign my music for me? And we all looked around and said, holy moly.
As soon as she did it, it just started happening all over the room.
Seeing Cyndi Lauper asking Lionel or the boss, you know, that's dope that they want to get each other's autograph. And then they come and ask me, and I'm like, they want my autograph? Like, wow, that's really cool, you know? And so I called Prince to let him know how it was going. You know, I said, I think maybe you should come. It's pretty cool, and, you know, everyone's hanging out. We're having a great time.
A photographer captures a picture of Michael Jackson with his arm around Billy Joel. Downtown, traffic floods a street, and a performer dances on a sidewalk.
I'm now on the phone with Prince. He's at Carlos and Charlie's. He said, I want to play a guitar solo in another room. I said, no. We're all in the same room. I need you to come and sing.
He called to put a guitar on. You know, we just happened to not leave the guitar on it.
It's 4 a.m.
It was getting late, and I was looking forward to singing one of the verses. But they kept asking, well, do you think you can get Prince here? I'm like, wow, this is weird. And I just started feeling like, I feel like I'm being used to be here because they want Prince to show up. And the longer they keep me, maybe Prince will show up.
Quincy stands at the podium.
I'm sure they were waiting for his limousine to pull up, but he didn't show up.
I already knew he wasn't going to come because there's too many people and he would feel uncomfortable. I told Lionel, I said, I'm going to go. They never intended on having me sing a verse, which was a little bit heartbreaking.
The artists step off the risers.
We had done the hook, so we're now going into the solos.
Diana Ross sits on the floor and stretches her legs. Stevie leans over Ray Charles, and they fiddle with a box.
Michael came to me and said, Prince isn't coming, so we have a spot on the line that needs a soloist. Who do you recommend? And I said, Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis has a great solo voice.
Somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, Quincy wants you. So he brought me to Quincy. He says, Smelly, come over here, get Michael. And he said, sing the line for Huey.
There's no way we can fall.
But if you just believe, no way we can fall.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
So now I get Prince's line. I mean, those are pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Can I go now? All right.
From that moment on, I was nervous out of my brain.
Okay. We got a line.
Huey stands stiffly as Quincy directs the soloists.
By the time we really got down to some solos, some people were asking, well, why does he have that part, or why does she have that part? And the answer was, no, it fits their range.
You got that line here. Let us realize.
Quincy told me who I was going to sing with. And I said, Willie Nelson? Interesting.
Dion grins.
I was certainly surprised.
They rehearse their lines.
We all gathered around the piano, and Stevie Wonder's playing the song, and we sang it acoustically. And Stevie Wonder, you could see the different voices register in his face. And about halfway through, as he's playing and singing, he's going, wow, so many stars. The first run through around the piano. That's when we first heard what it was actually going to sound like. I'll never forget, it was amazing to hear all those personalities on that thing for the very first time, and that song. Hair stands up in my back just thinking about it.
Now it's 4:40. Someone tears off a strip of duct tape and sticks it to the studio floor, then labels it with a marker.
We marked tape on the floor with the names. So it was a big U shape. It started here on and went all the way around.
I remember going through and counting them just because there's going to be three here, there'll be two here. I'm just going to go down. I'm looking at this list of names on the floor. I'm like, this is going to be unbelievable.
The person writes, Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen was here.
Testing, 1, 2.
I was right there. Michael Jackson's right here. I sing right after Michael.
You know it's with me, right?
That circle was the intimidating circle of life. Quincy was right. When it's time for your part to sing, you're going to give 200% because the class is looking at you. And to see everyone's preparation and vulnerability was pretty amazing. You were on your game at that point.
What we do is we have mics in front of us, but what we'll do is you lean in on your part. And then when your part, when the other person comes in, when you duet with someone, whatever the case is, when your part comes up, lean in. Don't sing back here. You sing back here, we'll never know your words.
Step in or lean?
So, no, come on in. This is real recording. It's just the names are back there, but the mics are up here. Come to the microphone.
Let me know when you're ready. Ready.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one.
I missed my start. Stevie says he's messed up.
Yeah, how flat, how so flat, how flat is that?
Stevie messed up? How did you do that? Is that legal?
Never.
Stevie screws it up playfully. As only Stevie can. Kind of almost on purpose, kind of having fun with it. Stevie was not nervous.
I never miss my note. It's my throat.
Quincy raised his voice, like, okay, now guys, we got to get you there. He screamed at us.
Please.
I had never seen him like that.
Quincy.
Quincy Jones was always very calm. His only concern was time. We got a lot to do. We still got a long way to go.
There are people dying. Oh, and it's time we lend a hand to life. The greatest gift of all.
Can I help?
It's good.
It's tough because we're far apart. Can I help?
When you go, greatest gift of all, and you go, oh.
That's my part.
The greatest gift of all.
I know, but he's talking about switching parts. I think I can do it.
Switch parts with me.
Sing louder. It's just hard to sing.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're singing their most important part. So you're going to get a little testy. You're going to be a little tired.
It gives me a weird jump, though, after my melody, you know?
In my camera, they're huge. I mean, because I'm just right there underneath them. Like, you could reach out and you could touch that person. They're just right there on you.
There are people dying.
I was a big fan of Paul Simon.
It's time we lend a hand.
Here he is, right here. He's singing in my face.
The greatest gift of all.
Kenny Rogers, when he hits that high note, and he just squeezes his face up. And it's like, God, he just...
You know, love is all we need.
And at the time, I was thinking, I can't believe people are paying me to shoot this incredible stuff.
We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
Diane Warwick's turn was up, and we had a little technical problem.
Won't you send them your heart?
Yeah.
Are you hearing your old voice?
Yes.
Everyone eyes the recording booth. Then Dionne leans to the microphone again.
What?
She shudders.
And Dionne, who is she? Get her out.
It was a little panic technically here. We have some issue with some noise in the playback. Did I at one point, I said, man, whatever it takes, we got to get this shit going. This is, we got to take off here, no matter what.
Is it still in there?
Yeah. You suppose it's leakage?
You know, I'm tripping somebody else's mic. All the other tracks are off.
Oh, then there's really no excuse for this.
Find out what the problem is.
We should have used my studio.
We are the kids. Won't you send them your heart so they know that someone cares?
I'm still hearing the other voice.
Sorry, it's a mystery.
Oh. So who are you going to call?
She. Ackroyd's in the echo chamber.
It kind of put a little tension.
A needle measures the sound level.
It was a little tough, but we went right back into our plan, getting these vocals done.
We're getting to that time of the morning where we must be as accurate as possible. Here we go.
As God has shown up.
Yeah.
By turning stone to bread.
A singer falters.
Yeah.
Na, 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 na.
And now it goes all the way through to Al Jarreau, who messes up. And so they go boom, and so they start again.
Thunder and free, we as God has shown us.
Al Jarreau, he was a little over the top in the alcohol section.
And so we all
know.
Ha, 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 ha. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
That's Willie.
Right. Al was interesting. Okay, I gotta tell you the funny part about Al. Al wanted to celebrate before we had done the song. So he kept saying, bring another bottle of wine in, we're gonna celebrate. So every time another bottle came in, I took the bottle back out.
All right, Stevie, grab the keyboard first. I just wanted to have him rehearse that little part for him.
We had to work very hard to get Al's part on before Al couldn't remember what his part was.
And so we all must lend a helping hand.
Yeah. Right? Again for me?
Just play the track.
That's enough. As it was there, it's enough.
Every time they go back and they rewind, it take about 5 minutes. So it's like you create a real tense every time you rewind.
By turning stone to bread.
And so we all must lend a helping hand.
We are the world. We are the children.
What do I do after Bruce Springsteen? It's like, what would you do? And then I went for a sweeter kind of soul thing.
The other world can make a bad day, so let's start giving.
Kenny Loggins was awesome, and they got to Steve Perry and Daryl Hall, and it was like, oh my God.
Oh, there's a choice we're making. We're saving our lives. Yeah, it's true, we make a better day, just you and me.
All right.
Steve Perry can sing. He's got that great voice.
up in that Sam Cooke territory. Give me another one. Give me at least two more.
These guys are getting three and four shots at their line. Meanwhile, I'm over here on the end, and I haven't even sung my line yet. You know, and I'm freaked out.
I was watching all of these people singing. I just was trying to remember to breathe.
I said to Quincy and Humberto, next time somebody screws up, can you just kind of keep going so we can rehearse our lines and the bridge? And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And Michael, who was next to me, says, that's a good idea. I said, thanks, Mike.
Go for the bridge, man.
You want to go to bridge? To the bridge. Take me to the bridge.
The bridge.
The bridge.
Okay, here.
Well, you're at the ready, though.
Just in case something might fuck up and let it roll.
I mean, it was just one line, but my legs were literally shaking.
Michael Jackson leads the bridge section.
When you're down and out, there seems no hope at all.
Next, Huey Lewis.
But if you just believe, there's no way we can fall.
Well, let us realize, oh, that a change will only come when we stand together as one.
You want that last one? You want
stand that, together you want as one.
That's so good. You want to join her? The three of you join her?
Stand together as one.
That'd be real
stand together as one.
But then they said, sing in harmony with Cindy and Kim. The demo didn't have any harmony parts or anything. I'm going to have to make something up here, make up a three-part harmony in front of Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Kenny Loggins, Daryl Hall.
What am I supposed to sing?
That was very nerve-wracking.
Oh, that's where I am.
We stand together.
It's on stand, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Stand together as one. One.
I'm too burned out to tell anybody anything.
Change will only come.
And just hit it. And just
when we both stand together as one.
I'll try it. It's high for me. I'll try it.
When we. Why, let us realize, oh, the change will only come when we stand together as one.
Huey shakes his head.
Fall didn't go down. I was a bit out of tune. I didn't go down.
I thought Huey was going to blow his head off because Cindy can sing octaves, and poor Huey was hanging on for dear life, so he couldn't take too many of those.
I sang him out of tune just to see if anybody would notice.
Cindy absolutely killed that line, but there was something wrong.
Huey, listen to it. There's like harmonic things happening when she sings. It almost sounds like conversation.
They keep saying, what's that noise? What's that noise?
Play back the first part of the other one and
Umberto was in there and I'm like, we have so much noise on her track. What is going on?
The mic is dying. We need to replace that mic.
Well, the mic is beautiful.
The mic is beautiful.
The mic is beautiful.
It sounds like people are laughing or something. Every time you sing, it's
like... Well, I don't think it's funny, and you should stop laughing when I'm singing, because...
Cindy gestures in frustration.
Cindy, you had a lot of bracelets.
Oh, is that... Oh, my earrings.
That did not occur to me.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
she wears several necklaces, bracelets, and dangly earrings.
No, I'm sorry. That's the chatter. Okay.
A necklace gets stuck in her yellow and orange hair.
That's the time.
She sets a heap of jewelry on the floor.
We needed that little moment of laughter to bring us back down before we rounded that corner.
Do the same punch still, Huey. Right after Mike.
But if you just believe, there's no way we can fall.
Well, let us realize, oh, that a change can only come when we stand together as one.
bops.
Oh, I hung over too much?
No,
Because I devoted my whole life to singing, to be among those singers and actually be a part of their community was otherworldly.
It's 5:32.
So, and we leave Ray's hole open.
Yes,
he's much older than me.
Bob Dylan waits behind a microphone.
This left Bob Dylan and Bruce doing the ad-libs.
Quincy called it serious fills.
Okay.
Like, we're going to do the serious fills now.
Here he is, Bob Dylan.
Lionel talks to Bob.
Yeah, but, yeah.
He is a legendary, iconic symbol to Americans and the world. So we were expecting something amazing to happen.
He studies sheet music. Bob peters off.
Okay, Mr. You guys, on a different track?
We'll stay all night. It's true, we make a better day. It's true. Okay, you just have...
You don't have to run that back a lot of times.
I think he was a little confused because it just didn't seem like Bob was understanding how he was supposed to sing, or is he supposed to be more like this chorus, or is he supposed to be more like Bob Dylan?
That's beautiful. And you know what's nice, man, is you singing along with the chorus like that, too. That's the only time we do an octave like that. That's beautiful.
I'd get out though, right after me, right there.
Yeah, just after you and me. But I mean, but the thing you were doing up there, you were singing along with the chorus, Lonnie. We are the children. That's nice, man.
Quincy was amazing.
Okay. Beautiful.
Production is an interesting thing. I mean, you got to be more than a great musician. You got to be like a psychiatrist.
Bob bites his lip.
That's where he's going in on.
Stevie, can you play it one time?
The secret agent to help him get comfortable was Stevie Wonder.
Lionel helps Stevie onto a piano bench.
We're
going to
rehearse it in here.
Stevie is an insanely great mimic.
Bob stands behind Stevie.
Stevie sang it ventriloquially in Dylan's voice.
Stevie's one of those guys, he can sing the phone book. Anytime you're around him, you're around a genius. And he's also very sweet.
Bob smiles as he sways along. Then, he stands back behind the microphone.
Must be in a dream, huh?
But at this point, there were a lot of people in the room. Still photographers and others. And having all these people around for Bob, it's not the way he normally works.
Lionel raises his arms.
And then it just became Stevie at the piano and Dylan at the microphone and Quincy at his podium.
All right, man, let's do it.
There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me. We are the world. We are the children.
Stevie claps and Bob glances back at him. Lionel applauds.
Yeah, yeah. Ow!
Quincy claps.
That wasn't any good.
I'm telling you, we got it. That was fantastic.
You say so. You say so. Yeah, I know you know.
That's where it is, man.
That's perfect, man.
All right.
Perfect.
Bob hugs Quincy, then Lionel.
Springsteen came in and said, nice, Dylan. Called him Dylan.
I listened to Dylan, you know, since I was a kid, and it was great to see him there and have a little interaction with him, so it was fun.
The choice we're making, we're taking the is that the part you're talking about?
It's 6:54 a.m.
So this is the end, right? We're in the end? This is the end of the song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One, two.
There was a very serious concern about Springsteen's voice.
I'll do a little bit and tell me if it's,
And listen, it's like being the cheerleaders,
of course.
Okay. You know what I mean? Come on.
All right,
I was just on the Born in the USA tour. I was pretty tired.
Music, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we go.
But I just started singing.
Just for making, saving our own lives. It's true, we'll make a better day, just you and me.
My voice was not great, but I sung as best as I could.
We are the world. We are the children. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives.
Let me get it right there.
Okay.
Something like that.
Well, exactly like that.
Yo, we're going to redo that track that we did. Okay, here we go. Right in now.
Bruce is just quintessentially Bruce on that thing. It sounds like he's got broken glass in his throat.
We are the world. We are the children. So it's stuck here. Oh, we're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day. Just you and me. We are the world. We are the children. So let's start giving. It's a choice we're making. Yeah, we're saving our own lives. It's true, we'll make a better day. Just you and me.
Bruce gestures for more applause.
Thank you, thank you.
Legitimate sweat.
Lionel embraces Bruce before he walks away.
Yeah, he's officially on vacation. Hang on.
Now you're on vacation.
That
sounds
good.
We got it. All the hard work is done.
Take care.
Not over yet.
When it was over, we were exhilarated and exhausted, to be sure. We'd been up all night. But even then, on the evening, you knew that we'd done something that was going to live forever.
You killed it. And we made it through.
Is it okay?
Lionel and Quincy hug Cyndi Lauper. Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen embrace.
Lionel, we've got good solos from everybody, but it's perfect. That's the bottom line. We feel the same.
Stevie and Lionel smile. Lionel sits and taps his face.
Trying to get 40 superstars together in the same place at the same time is impossible. That's why all of a sudden Springsteen said, right after my show, I'm coming to California. Paul Simon, I'm on my way. Billy Joel, I'm on my way. Bob Dylan. In this room, this family grew.
Whenever you feel comfortable, you can sit. You can do an aerial shot.
Quincy, where are you going to sit, man?
Right there.
Quincy flops on his back, then sits up.
Whoa. Here it comes. The adrenaline just took the train.
He covers a yawn.
The adrenaline just caught the bus.
They basically said, that's it, guys. Wrap it up. Let's go home.
Everyone disperses.
Woo! What a night.
I assumed this was a paying gig. So at the end of the night, when I'm getting ready to home, I'd kind of like made up an invoice. And they go, invoice? There's no invoice. This is all volunteer. Everybody here is volunteer. I went, all right. Well, I got this cool T-shirt and a great story, so okay.
Ken smirks. Crew members unplug and coil cables. Diana Ross hangs back.
And Diana Ross stayed after everybody was gone. And I hear her crying. Quincy said, Diana, are you okay? And she's like, I don't want this to be over. It was the sweetest thing I think I've ever heard.
Tom presses a hand to his chest. A glowing sign illuminates the studio exit. Outside, the morning sun rises in a blue sky. A circular sign for A&M Records rotates over the studio. A car pulls out of the parking lot.
I think we left about 8 o'clock in the morning, and Quincy doesn't drive. So I drove him back to his place in Bel Air.
It was a kind of exhilaration mixed with exhaustion. I remember Quincy saying, like, man, those white boys really brought it.
I was exhilarated, you know. It's just like when you finish a concert and you go home and you're just like, yes, I nailed that. It was, I feel, you just feel good about it.
So at 8 o'clock in the morning, when I finally got home, I walk in the house and there's my family congratulating me on winning the awards and hosting the show. And all I could talk about was We Are the World. And they kept saying, what are you talking about? I said, man, We Are the World was amazing. I mean, last night we did this. They don't know what we're talking about. It was so big and so powerful. That one night overshadowed everything that was going on in my life.
Words appear. 3 months later, someone tunes a radio.
As you have heard on our own KFI News this morning and elsewhere, you have read and been told that in about 1 minute's time, at 7:50,
everybody in the world is going to be playing the same song.
We are the world, we are the children.
Al-Idaatu Sudaniya.
A satellite orbits the Earth from space.
Because of technology, we're talking about it reaching the ears of a billion people. When that kind of energy gets thrown out, it's very, very, very powerful. Music is a strange animal because you can't touch it, you can't smell it, and you can't eat it or anything else, and it's just there. Beethoven's Fifth just keeps coming back at you for 300 years, and that's very, very powerful spiritual energy.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call. When the
world... We Are the World was something that everybody could understand. Even if you didn't speak English, you could understand the melody, you could understand the feeling of the song musically.
It's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
Kenny Rogers.
This is an inner soul, an inner energy that's coming from us that was much greater than any record any of us had ever done.
That someone somewhere will soon make a change.
People can look at the song and judge it aesthetically, but at the end of the day, I looked at it like it was a tool. It was a tool that they were trying to accomplish something with, and as such, it did a pretty good job.
I think every individual in the world wants to contribute and they don't know how. I got a feeling that we're creating a shift in what's going on in the world today about helping other people. And it's compassion, it's real new.
Well, send them your heart so they know that someone cares and their lives will be stronger and free. As God.
The whole world singing his song. I mean, that's crazy. In every language around the world, it was one of those moments where you go, oh, God, what have we done?
We are the world. We are the children.
The single has already sold out its first million copies the first weekend it's been on release.
In the last month, America's Children have made this record dedicated to Africa's children the fastest-selling single in U.S. history.
Following its release, We Are the World achieved significant recognition, winning Record of the Year and Song of the Year at the 1986 Grammy Awards and a special award at the AMAs.
I heard the song for the first time in my shower. The record was amazing, and then my line came, and it was okay, and I was...
I am a part of something that has been life-changing, and it's very humbling.
Voice of Harry Belafonte.
The collective power of artists can be very impacting. We've all put our egos aside and the service of people in the world who are less fortunate. We're truly all one people. We are all in need of each other.
This is the realization of the dream of USA for Africa. This is the beginning of the second phase of our activities, feeding people, of saving lives,
We Are the World has raised over $80 million for humanitarian causes in Africa and continues to raise money to this day.
I take it one at a time. That if we can feed one person, or we can feed 1 million, the point is to get in.
The ripple effect that We Are the World had was that everyone wanted to try and do it. An artist suddenly realized that they could now make a change in the world.
I think it's one of those things that kids who haven't even been born yet will know about, because it was a unity through music.
Artists perform at Live Aid. Richie beams on stage. Lionel raises his arms, and a massive crowd gives a standing ovation. Lionel embraces Harry Belafonte, then Belafonte smiles and waves. In a vacant studio, headphones rest on a soundboard.
My dad said something to me years ago. He said, enjoy coming home, because there's going to come a time when you can't go home. I said, Dad, what does that mean? He said, well, the house will be there. The people in the house won't be there. This is that room. That's the board. It's right in there, and Umberto's not sitting behind it. Michael Jackson was right there. In this room. And Springsteen did his part right over there in that corner. And Cyndi Lauper was right here.
Lionel points.
It's very special. I think about this room as my house.
Lionel wipes his eye with his thumb, then blinks repeatedly.
This is the house that We Are the World built.
A group photo shows the artists in front of the banner. End credits. Audio description by Descriptive Video Works. Written by Laurie Wilson and narrated by Sarah Mennell.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one.
Credits continue to roll in front of black and white photos of the We Are the World recording session.
It's time to lend a hand to life. The greatest gift of change. We all are part of God's great big family.
And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make it brighter than day. So let's start giving.
Down and out, and there seems no hope at all.
Copyright 2024. Netflix. Republic Pictures Paramount.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.